Today on the Trent Out Loud podcast. He talked about nothing about his anti-Semitic remarks. He talked about nothing about the Jewish community. He talked about himself. What up? It's your boy Trent Out Loud, and I am back with another episode. Okay, of course, I got a good show set up for you guys. I got one lead story. I got everyone's favorite quick news, and I got two quick sport updates. Y'all know what time it is. Get your headphones on. Get your earbuds in. Turn your devices up. I'm about to start this show. Let's go. Trevor Noah reportedly at odds with Spotify executives over the direction of his new podcast. Okay, I really wanted to talk about this because I myself too am a podcaster. And I always like to highlight and talk about stories about podcasters or YouTubers. This is the future of entertainment. You are going to be getting your interviews and your news from podcasters and YouTubers and not so much terrestrial television like Fox, ABC, etc. We're already definitely in that direction in the next 5 or 10 years. That's what it will be. Other reason why I wanted to talk about it is that the whole point of having a podcast or having a YouTube channel is for you to be able to put out your own point of view, for you to put out the world as you see it. So the fact that Trevor Noah is at odds with Spotify over the direction, it tells you a lot about what's going on. And is that YouTubers and podcasters had their avenue. They created their own avenue. They created their own lane. And it was independent, and these big conglomerates obviously heard about it, started paying big money for it, and now they're trying to direct these independent platforms. The whole point of the show, the whole point of a show, of a podcast, is for you to put out your thoughts and your opinions without it being regulated, is what I'm trying to say. I hope I'm getting my point across. So for those of you who don't know Trevor Noah from his show on The Daily Show, and just as a comedian, he is a comedian from South Africa, but he was also on The Daily Show for 7 years, and he's also a full-time comedian. And I think one of the reasons probably why he wanted to leave The Daily Show, because it was wildly successful, it was him that made the decision to leave, is that he wanted to kind of produce something on his own. I think that's why he went into podcasting. And now the fact that this Spotify is paying him, hiring him, got to his show, and now that he's on the platform and he's on contract, they're trying to control him. So anyways, let me read this statement. We'll get a little bit more out of it. But like I said, the whole point of a podcast is for the host to be able to have unsolicited, unfiltered conversations or opinions to the listener. That's the point of a podcast. So I'm just disappointed to hear that Spotify is not giving him more creative control. But here's a report. Will South African comedian, television personality Trevor Noah enjoy the same success in the podcast lane as he did on TV? Ever since he stepped away from hosting The Daily Show back in 2022 after a 7-year run, Trevor Noah has moved on to new exciting ventures, including launching his very own podcast in November 2023. Unfortunately, it hasn't even been a full year since Trevor Noah officially started his What Now? New Trevor Noah podcast, and it already seems that there's things are rocky between him and Spotify. Rumor has it that the audio media provider, Spotify, is worried that Trevor Noah and his team allegedly want to renegotiate his contract terms with them regarding his minimum guarantee, which is the pay he is set to provide in exchange for producing a certain amount of podcast episodes. Okay, here's where it gets interesting. The main rift is reportedly centered around the kind of guest the podcast should feature. Spotify allegedly prefers that Noah mostly invites celebrities on his series. However, it's said that Noah desires to include guests from various fields, not just famous people of Hollywood. In an interview back in November, Noah indicated that he would be just as intrigued to chat with company CEOs and scientists, clarifying that no matter the guest, he's going to have an A-list conversation. Noah continued, Hopefully, you can get a deeper understanding of how they see the world and maybe even talk about how they feel about how the world sees them. Recently, a Spotify spokesperson seemingly danced around the brewing drama as they addressed reports of the alleged dispute and reportedly said, "We are happy with the show and we have no news on any changes." So there you have it. Like I said, Trevor wants to sit down with just people from around the world, CEOs, scientists, and I feel like that's why he left The Daily Show, because he was underneath a banner. It was The Daily Show. It was political. You had producers. It was on Comedy Central. You're on a network. And the network aims to deal with one issue, which is mostly political, and you go after that. He left, obviously, because he wasn't happy or he wanted to do something more. And it looks like he wanted to just talk to people. I think that's what Trevor loves about his job, or something that he loves doing. So he wants to talk to scientists, he wants to talk to CEOs, he wants to talk to different people from around the world and not just celebrities. And that's why the man went into podcasting. And now you have these big platforms that want to get a piece of the money in podcasting, and they're doing the same thing. They're trying to do the same thing in the podcasting and the YouTubing world as they did in TV shows. You see something is working, you pick up on it, you try to make as much money out of it. And that's why they just want him to bring in celebrities. So celebrities, 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 bring more eyes and bring more money. But you're watering down the essence of what Trevor Noah wants the show to be. Anyways, I don't know how you guys feel about this. I'm sure content creators that are listening to this or other podcasters or YouTubers out there understand exactly what I'm saying. But if anybody hears this from any of these big, you know, media corporations, you got to leave the content creators. You got to leave the podcasters. You got to leave the YouTubers, our independence. Let us control our shows. There's a reason why we chose this route and we didn't choose to go the terrestrial route. Like that's the whole point of this new generation of YouTubers and podcasters. Anyways, that's all I wanted to say. Again, like I said, I hold these things close to my heart as a podcaster and somebody that loves to have his own platform and gets to speak his mind freely to the people like you who choose to listen or choose to tune in. And that's the beauty of it. And I would just hate to see that taken away. All right, that was my one lead story. Let's jump into some quick news. Ring my bell. All right, the Super Bowl numbers are finally in. I'm going to read you guys off some record-breaking numbers from the Super Bowl, from Super Bowl 58. It's crazy. Listen to this. Super Bowl 2024 was the most watched telecast of all times, reaching 123.4 million viewers. Yo, do you guys know how huge that is? It's the most watched television cast in the history of TV. I don't know how old TV is, but I know it's old, and I know there's been a lot of things telecasted. That is crazy. And I think more importantly why that's such a crazy number is that, kind of like what I just talked about before, this new generation is so into, you know, TV, not TV, but YouTube and podcasting and repurposing content and not watching things right away. And for cable to have the biggest televised, you know, program now in today, in 2024, the biggest, I got a salute. I still think the platform is a dying platform and you wouldn't be able to bring this amount of viewers in on something that wasn't live in real time. That's where the problem lies. Not to get back into what I was talking about before, but that's where the problem lies in this quick, fast-paced world. It's hard to get somebody to sit down and watch a television broadcast, television program at one time. But of course, for a live event like Super Bowl, you don't want to miss, and there's a lot of Super Bowl parties and events. So you'll never see a number like this for something that's not a live event. But you got to shout them out. Shout out to cable TV. Shout out to the NFL. And that's huge. For that to have been the most watched telecast of all times, that's crazy. All right, there's some other big numbers too. Like I reported last week, Usher didn't make a penny from his performance, but they're saying that Usher has earned an equivalent of $52.5 million dollars in exposure for his Super Bowl halftime show. This was according to Apex Marketing. So what that tells you is that if he had to pay for the marketing that he got off of the Super Bowl, it would have costed $52 million. So those of you who are saying, oh my gosh, this, they need to pay their performers. Why does the performer get paid? You get back the equivalent in marketing dollars. And I also have another stat of how much they think Usher is going to make as a result of this. Hold on, let me find it. Usher's halftime show drew in fans by the masses. The eight-time Grammy winner's big moment pulled in 30.1 million households, according to new reports on Monday. This is a 5% bump compared to Rihanna's top-tier performance last year, where she performed solely and announced her second pregnancy. In comparison, Usher brought out fellow heavy hitters like Alicia Keys, who performed their hit My Boo, and Little John and Ludacris, as the trio gave a nostalgic performance of their single, Yeah. Now here's this, listen to this. Considering that there were multiple people in each household with many hosting Super Bowl parties, it's suspected that 100 million people in total tuned in to see Usher's performance. And if you calculate all the extra streaming numbers, concert sales, and CD sales, it's said that Usher could bring in close to $100 million just based off of his Super Bowl performance alone. That is crazy. Yeah, don't pay me. Give me close to $50 million in marketing exposure. And then over the next year or so, because my streams are going to go up, my album sales are going to go up, my concert sales are going to go up. And of course, he just released a new album last week. So that's going to sell. They say that he's going to rake in close to $100 million. So for those entrepreneurs out there, for those artists out there, for anybody else, you know, making money, don't always think about the front end. Sometimes there's more money in the back end. Don't only think about what you're going to get paid up front. Think about what you're going to get paid after. Anyways, let me continue with these Super Bowl numbers. Okay, here's a fun number for you. Taylor Swift was on TV for a combined 54 seconds. So this is, of course, for everybody saying that they hate when the NFL always cuts to Taylor Swift all the time. They're saying if you add up all those cuts just during Super Bowl alone, Taylor Swift was on TV for 54 seconds. Now, I was always the one that was like, oh, who cares if they cut, they cut. If you add this up, that's actually a lot of time because a Super Bowl commercial costs $7 million for 30 seconds. So to get a commercial spot for close to a minute would cost $14 million. Taylor Swift got close to a minute of airtime during the Super Bowl and it didn't cost her a penny. Yo, shout out to Taylor Swift, man. That's big. Okay, the last number that I have for you is actually the ticket sales. And ironically, this is not the highest ticket sales of Super Bowls of all time. The average Super Bowl ticket price was $9,458, close to 10 G's. But like I said, I think it was Super Bowl 3 years ago where LA Rams against Cincinnati, the average ticket price was $10,086. So this one was $600 cheaper than the last one. But hey, that's the only number that didn't break records. And that's still pretty high because all the other Super Bowl ticket prices around there were $4,000, $6,000, $8,000, and then $7,000. So this one was close. I don't know why everybody wanted to go to the LA Cincinnati one, or maybe the prices were higher, but now inflation. Anyways, I don't know. That is the only record. That's the only stat that Super Bowl 58 did not break was actually the admission and the price for seats. So anyways, that is it. I think this is going to be my last thing that I talk about with the Super Bowl. That's why I put it all in one quick news section. For those of you who are not into this, or not in Super Bowl, sorry. That's all everyone's been talking about last week and this week. But I think that's it. I think that wraps it up. That is Super Bowl 58. And by the way, I just want to highlight that my Kansas City Chiefs won. Usher asked Justin Bieber to perform at the Super Bowl halftime show with him, and Justin said, sorry, but I am not feeling it. Sorry, first of all, I know I just said I wasn't going to talk anymore about Super Bowl, but this is not actually Super Bowl or the game. This is the halftime show. This is something else. But I was one of the ones that was asking, like, where is Justin Bieber? Why isn't he here? For those of you who don't know or wondering why we're even talking about Justin Bieber and Usher, Usher didn't necessarily discover Justin Bieber. It was Scooter Bronson. But Usher was the one to sign him and bring him into the music industry. So Usher is like Justin Bieber's protege. Ironically, actually, Justin Timberlake was also trying to sign him too, but he decided to go with Usher. So yes, that is like his protege. That's his big brother. That's, you know, I think he's still probably signed to Usher in some form or fashion. So of course, Usher would want to bring him out on stage with him, Alicia Keys, Little John, and Ludacris. You know, that's his family, right? That's his musical family. We're going to always remember him. So why wasn't he on stage? So when I heard that he wasn't going to be there, I was like, okay. But then I also heard that he turned him down. So I thought there may be some beef. But I actually read something yesterday. I can't find out where I read it. I don't have a screenshot of it, but, or I can't read the report. But what somebody said is that Justin Bieber was actually going through some kind of like some mental health issues, and he hasn't performed in the past 2 years. So that is your explanation on why he didn't perform. He actually just performed in Toronto for the Toronto All-Star Game, but it was kind of like at a little kind of hotel, a small venue. Justin Bieber was diagnosed with Ramsey-Hunt syndrome, I think is the name of it, where I think it was like half of his face was paralyzed. So ever since he had that diagnosis, he's never kind of been back out too much in the public eye, especially outperforming. So now when you think about it, it all makes sense. He got diagnosed with this very, very rare disease where his half of his face was paralyzed. He decided to take some time off. Mental health issues, wasn't feeling it. And of course, if you take a year or 2 years off from performing, you don't want your first performance back to be on Super Bowl. Imagine if it didn't go well. So we could put all of the rumors to bed. There's no beef between Justin Timberlake. Sorry, I keep saying Justin Timberlake. Between Justin Bieber and Usher, he just didn't want to get back on that stage. And that's why he said he wasn't feeling it. So there you have it. Kanye West spent $7 million on a Super Bowl commercial that brought him in $19.3 million in sales in 24 hours. Once again, I know I said I wasn't going to talk about the Super Bowl, but this is a commercial now, okay? It's not about the game. But anyways, Kanye West filmed the commercial on an iPhone, and then he pointed people to his website, and then apparently he says his sales were close to $20 million. I'll give you a small clip of the commercial.
Hey, y'all, this is Ye. So I want you to go to Yeezy.com, Yeezy.com.
Kanye West's team reported that their Super Bowl ad shot on an iPhone with zero production budget had a huge success. Despite the cost of the 30-second ad being $7 million to the NFL, the minimalist or cost-free production strategy paid off significantly. The ad campaign led to a surge in Yeezy brand orders, with 284,000 orders placed, mounting to $19.3 million in sales in less than 24 hours following the advertisement. All right, I'm going to put up a picture of this receipt on YouTube. For those of you who are not on YouTube, you can go to my YouTube channel, Trend Out Loud on YouTube. But I'll read the report here to you. So apparently, they sold 266,000 Yeezy pods. Those are the sock shoes. Then one box tee, there was 79,000. Vault Pent B, 56,000. And then Vault Long B, 53,000. I don't know. I guess those are clothes or some sort of pants. I don't know. And then he also said that Vultures finished the day. This is his album that he released with Ty Dolla $ign. Vultures finished the day at number one in 100 countries. So there you have it. According to Kanye, according to his team, these are the numbers. Because everything is now independent, I guess Kanye could report and say whatever he wants because it's his own company. It's on his own platform. And how could you really check it? He has nothing that is holding him accountable. Whereas at Sony and Universal, they have shareholders. They can't lie about these things. So that's one thing to just, you know, keep in your mind that, you know, we don't have any confirmation of this. These are just Kanye putting out his numbers. But if this is true, and I'm not calling him a liar, I'm just pointing out the fact now is that he is a privately owned company. He could do or say whatever he wants. But hey, if this is really true and this worked, then shout out to him. You know, all these people, apparently Verizon spent $30 million on Beyonce for their commercial. And I'm sure that cost probably $5 or $10 million to shoot. So it's $40 million. Kanye picked up an iPhone, talked on it, sent people to his website and made $20 million. Yo, shout out to Ye. Congratulations to Jess Hilarious. She has just revealed that she is pregnant. Shout out to Jess. You know, Jess is my sister. Yo, I'm an honorable member of the Breakfast Club family. I'm just joking. I am not. But, you know, I'm a small part of Team Charlemagne. You know, I was on his panel at the Mental Wealth Expo. So I am a small part of the team. So that is family. So shout out to Jess Hilarious. All praise. Also to, it's Jess's birthday today. So happy birthday. She's 32 years old. And of course, again, congratulations for getting the third position on the Breakfast Club. Jess, I did report this, but for those of you who don't know, or maybe hiding under a rock, Jess Hilarious is the third co-host at the Breakfast Club. And I think this is what she's in her second week now. So anyways, this is good. Her boyfriend actually called in, or her, I guess now her baby daddy, called in to wish her happy birthday and to make the announcement on air. Here's a little clip.
Hey, baby. It's your man. I wanted to call and say happy birthday. All excited for our little bundle of joy as well, baby.
Kanye West posts a picture with himself and the Adidas CEO at the airport, and he said, make Adidas great again. I don't know what, yo, I don't know what is going on. Did he just run into the Adidas CEO just like that? And why are they taking pictures together? I mean, they dropped Kanye last year for his anti-Semitic marks, and now they're taking pictures again. Like I always say, I know I do talk about Kanye a lot, or I have talked about Kanye a lot in the past 2 months, but this is what Kanye does. He puts out a product or he puts out an album and he gets himself in the news every day. I think every day last week I talked about Kanye, and already now the second day after Super Bowl and we're still talking about Kanye West. This is what he does. So I don't know if this was just an accident, or I don't know if he's going to get back in with Adidas, or if he's going to stay independent, or just I don't know, but this is definitely something to highlight, that Kanye West and the Adidas CEO were seen in the airport together. They weren't seen talking. They're not in a meeting. Maybe they just ran into each other, but the fact that they're stopping, smiling, and taking a picture, who knows? Will we see Kanye and Adidas rekindle their relationship? Are we going to get Yeezys back again, or is he going to stay independent? I'm going to actually start like a Yeezy tracker. You know what I mean? Like an everyday, give you guys an update on what Kanye is doing. But like I keep reminding you guys, it's not that, you know, I don't agree or I disagree. I'm not a Kanye fan. I know he hurt a lot of people with his anti-Semitic remarks. I'm very curious if Kanye West can get back into the good graces of the people, if he can get back his status with all the brands that dropped him, and see where we're going from there. Not only in the airport, not only was he spotted in the airport with the CEO of Adidas, but he was caught up with TMZ, and they drilled him with a bunch of questions, and he was there with a 6-7 minute long interview. I'm not actually going to play it, but they asked him if he, you know, regret his anti-Semitic marks. They asked him a bunch of questions. He talked about him being misdiagnosed and being on the wrong medication, and now he's in a better place. And you know, we'll see. Staying on Kanye news. Kanye actually just dropped a little snippet of his interview that he did that's actually going to be coming out on Yeezy.com. I told you that, guys, this a couple of weeks ago, that apparently he has a 40-minute video where he's actually going to be talking about his anti-Semitic remarks and apologizing to the Jewish community. They put out a little snippet of it. Here it is.
Being the single richest black man in the world cannot secure your position in order to move people. Right. A king needs an army, and it became an army.
Okay, I couldn't play the whole thing for you guys, but that's just a little clip to show you that he talked about nothing about his anti-Semitic remarks. He talked about nothing about the Jewish community. He talked about himself. But again, it was a 30-second snippet. Like I said, I cannot play the whole thing for copyright issues. However, you know, that's why I played that little line about being king, because it sounds like it's Kanye just being Kanye. But apparently, there's supposed to be, you know, a big chunk of that video will be him addressing his anti-Semitic remarks. And we'll see if this could be the catalyst and the thing that gets him back in the good graces of these companies that dropped him last year. Shout out to SZA. SZA celebrates SOS becoming the first album by a Black female artist to spend over a year in the top 10 on the Billboard 200 charts. Yo, shout out to SZA. Bam, 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 bam. Yo, that's huge. You know, SZA won big at the Grammys, but she did not win Album of the Year. And even Billboard had to come out and say, how could you give the Grammys to Taylor Swift and not give it to SZA when she has been in the top 10 on Billboard for the past year? And now, the week after the Grammys, or 2 weeks after the Grammys, or whatever it was, now she's officially... Now her album is officially the longest running by a Black female on Billboard. This is just nuts. Like, I just don't understand why she didn't win Album of the Year. But let's remain positive and talk about the positive side of it, that now she has broken that record and her album SOS is still in the top 10 on Billboard a year after releasing. So shout out to SZA. Congratulations to Usher, who reportedly married his longtime girlfriend Jennifer in Las Vegas after the Super Bowl. Again, sorry, I mentioned the Super Bowl again. Okay, but he got married after, so it's fine. But according to multiple sources, People Magazine have confirmed that Usher and Jennifer reportedly tied the knot in Las Vegas over the weekend. If you recall, 3 days prior to hitting the Super Bowl stage, the couple obtained a marriage license in Clark County, Nevada. No other details have been made available at this moment, but congratulations to Usher. But yeah, so this is confirmed. I think I said this maybe last week, or maybe I don't know if I said it or not. But yeah, apparently he got married in Vegas to his girlfriend after the Super Bowl halftime show. So shout out to Usher. He is killing it. Usher is on top of the world right now. The Super Bowl halftime show, going out on tour, new album, and now new wife. Apparently, I think they have one or two children together. So this is probably why they got it done in Vegas and it was something quick. It's not like not like they're still in the honeymoon stages. He didn't just meet her. They've obviously been together for a while. That's why they're saying that's his longtime girlfriend. But regardless, shout out to Usher. Shout out to Jennifer. Let's go. Jermaine Dupri flexes for the gram in his Louis Vuitton socks after they cause a controversy during the halftime show. Again, oh my gosh, I'm totally regretting at the top of this show saying that I wasn't going to talk about Super Bowl anymore, because this is now, again, I think the third time since I've said it, but I think this is probably my last Super Bowl mention. But anyways, for those of you who watch the halftime show, you know that Jermaine Dupri got tore up in the online after the halftime show, because his outfit was atrocious. And now he's apparently coming out saying that his socks were Louis Vuitton. Pharrell gave them to him, and he put out a picture, and it has a little, I don't know, pearl on it or whatever. But I don't know what he thinks this is going to do. Like, the fact that they were Louis Vuitton socks doesn't make it any better. For those of you who are not seeing this right now, please go to my YouTube channel at Trend Out Loud and see this. It is hilarious. This guy looked like a church girl, or what do you call them? Those girl guides that used to like go to your house and sell cookies. Like, that's what he looked like. I don't know why he was dressing up like that and what he thinks putting out these, telling us that these are Louis Vuitton socks that are going to make a difference. You're still going to get dragged. Anyways, Jermaine wrote, ha, ha, ha. Okay, I ain't have time for y'all last night. I was too drunk. Me and my homies performed at the Super Bowl. But I will say it's funny as hell. Yo, Pharrell, you seen this? Anyway, so at least he's having fun with it. But yo, those socks were horrible. All right, this brings us to question of the day. A YouTuber put out a video the other day and said, if you only make $50,000 a year, you shouldn't date. So my question is there a certain price tag? Do you have to make a certain amount of money to be able to date?
So if you're making $50,000, don't date. I'm just being for real. You're not ready to date. Okay. Everything costs. Okay. You can go for 22 walks in the park. Eventually, shorty is going to need a sip of something. She's going to be thirsty. This bottle of water is $3 in Atlanta. Let's not play. So
this is crazy. Let me go to the comment section. Chris Smith 52 wrote, we got to start a petition and get Best Buy and Amazon to stop selling podcast equipment. Oh, that's cold. Hella Yerbella wrote, there are people who make $50,000 a year with $1 million in savings and people who make $500,000 a year and they're $1 million in debt. It's not the money, it's the mindset and habits. I like that answer. Black Gabby Doll said, everyone's so upset about an opinion. Does the reality of your mediocrity offend you? Some of y'all get courted for free and don't want to be reminded of it. CC Chanel underscore one wrote, this mentality is really superficial. I still remember when I was making $50,000 a year, I was just as worthy of love then as I am now with 10 times more. Don't ever look down on someone today. You don't know what God has planned for them tomorrow. If you ask me, this is actually a ridiculous conversation. This is actually a ridiculous question, but it's really garnering a lot of attention. So I'm going to talk about it. You could make minimum wage and still date. What does dating have to do with the amount of money you're making? Her point of saying that you could go on 22 walks and then you have to buy a bottle of water. Who that has a job can't afford a bottle of water? Who that has a job working minimum wage, $50,000 a year, that's pretty decent money. You going out on a date doesn't mean that you have to spend. I've talked about this multiple times on my lives whenever I go live. By the way, I go live every Thursday at 8 p.m. So tune in on my Instagram at Trent Out Loud. And we do talk about a lot of like relationship stuff like this. And a lot of people, when that list came out of women wanting to go to a certain restaurant and don't take me to Cheesecake Factory, like that's how all of this started, of how much should a man spend on the first date. And my answer is nothing. You do not have to spend any money to go on a first date. There's a lot of fun things to do to get to know somebody before you decide to having to spend a lot of money. And if both of you or one of you don't make as much as the other, there are a million things to do. And in my opinion, it's actually way better when the relationship is not based on anything financial, not based on any restaurants, because you need to be able to get to know somebody. And you can get to know somebody at your local coffee shop just as well as you can get to know somebody at a $500 dinner. You could, and to make that point even stronger, I actually think you actually get to know somebody even more during those cheap times. Because when you go to an expensive restaurant, you dress up, your hair, your this, whatever, blah, blah, and you're not coming as yourself. You tell somebody you want to meet them to go and have a $5 cup of coffee, they're not getting themselves done up, they're not getting their hair, they're not getting their nails. You get them. And who are you getting into a relationship with? You're getting into that real person, not that fake person that's showing up all dressed up with hair and makeup and you're in a whole different mind state. Meet me 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we're having a $5 cup of coffee. And anybody that has a job that making minimum wage, man, if you're on welfare, you can afford to go out and have a cup of coffee. So you could date 100%, even forget the $50,000. You could date on welfare. And that's my answer. All right, that brings us to sports news, and I have a little update from the NBA. I actually did have something from the Super Bowl, but I promise you guys to stop talking about the Super Bowl, so I will not actually talk about it. I'll tell you quickly, though, that Andy Reid is not mad at Travis Kelce for bouncing him and pushing him on the sidelines when he got mad. He says that they both yell at each other, and they're both very passionate, and he wasn't mad at him. Okay, let me sneak in the little clip. Here you go.
As much as, you know, he bumps into me, I get after him, and we understand that. He just caught me off balance.
All right, that's it. I'm done. No more Super Bowl. All right, so the story that I actually really wanted to talk about quickly, because we're running out of time, is Klay Thompson. Everybody has been talking about Klay Thompson. Is he going to get traded from the Warriors? Is he not? He's not the person that he used to, so he cannot command the same amount of money that he used to. But Klay put this out, and I thought it was really interesting. Klay Thompson comments on potentially taking a reduced role if it means having to stay with the Warriors. He wrote, there's nothing wrong with that. I'll be 35 next year. At 35, coming off of ACL and an Achilles heel and still having the ability to be a really good player, maybe not the guy who scored 60 in 3 quarters and scored an NBA record 37 points in a quarter, but still a great threat out there. I've modeled my game after Reggie Miller and Ray Allen, and those guys were incredibly effective until their late 30s. So I plan on kind of following that mold. So there you have it. This really is really only like around, it's really revolving around money more than anything. And if you take a reduced role, of course you take reduced pay. But I think what he's trying to say is that, hey, I would rather stay here with my brothers. I'd rather stay here with my team. Of course, they're no longer the dynasty that they once were. They're probably not going to win this year, but I think he probably wants to stay with Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and himself. And of course, there's Andrew Wiggins. So if the four of them could stay, I think they could be, you know, at least get themselves kind of deep in the playoffs. But I think he would rather that, you know, he's had his money. He's made his money. I'm sure he would rather stay there and end his career there and maybe hopefully to bring the Warriors back to a finals instead of going to another team, getting what, $5-10 million more than he would with the Warriors, getting maybe a starting position. But it's not with the Warriors and it's not with a team that's going to go to the finals or in the playoffs anyway. So I agree with this. I like my players staying on one team. I like them staying with a franchise for their entire career, if possible. I don't know if Klay has actually been there his entire career, but regardless, even if he wasn't, we know Klay as a Warrior. And like Stephen A. Smith has said that there will be a Klay Thompson statue outside of the arena one day. Those big three were a dynasty. They brought them four. They brought that city four championships. So I like his move. Stay there, retire there, end your career out there. They're still going to pay you. They keep you on. And that's that. Talking about that and actually really ending off the Super Bowl, now is the time of year where things are changing, right? Super Bowl is over. That story has been put to bed. And now we're going to start getting into the NBA. This weekend is the All-Star weekend. I'm really excited to see the three-point competition. I want to see what they're doing with the slam dunk competition. It's going to be a great weekend. And now we start getting into some serious football. And then my favorite month, May, which is NBA playoffs. It's amazing. Of course, I love football, but at least with the NBA, we get to have games on during the week. So at least get my weeks get fulfilled. Fulfilled or filled, whatever. Anyways, I'm really excited. NFL is done. Super Bowl, no more Super Bowl stories. And we're going to start talking more about the NBA. Let's get it. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. It's your boy, Trent Out Loud. For more content, you could subscribe, download, or listen to the Trent Out Loud podcast wherever you listen to your podcast, or you could watch us on YouTube. Just search Trent Out Loud. For show times and updates, you could follow us on all social platforms at Trent Out Loud. Go to signupexpert.com/Trent. Once you sign up for all betting apps and get all your bonuses and get all your rewards, go to your app store and download BetStamp and use promo code TOL.